Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Wiseout. Today, we're back in the Grey Lodge to talk about Twin Peaks. Today, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 14, Double Play. And we're going to talk about, of course, the occult symbolism popping up throughout Twin Peaks. Today's episode, we've got multiple owls not being what they seem. We've got more info on the Black and White Lodge. Black and White Lodge is... we'll talk about chess and checkers, the Freemasonic checkerboard, right? And we're going to learn about some important parts of the story show up today. Cooper's past and his love life. We'll also get into the darkness that is Wyndham Earle. All right, we're going to find out more about... It's kind of setting up for, I would argue, the rest of the season and what transpires. All right, so it's a very important episode. Leo's back. He wants that clean house, and he wants a good attitude, so let's all show up at our best. So let's get into it. Starts out, we pick up where the last episode left off. We've got a dead man, a vagrant, we find out, at the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department, and he's got a chess piece stuffed in his mouth. He's got a pawn stuffed in his mouth. And Cooper, of course, he's on the scene, and he's got that great intuition. He knows there's a stab wound under this guy's shirt, severing the aorta. How does he know this? Well, they come to the conclusion that someone came into the sheriff's department, planted the body, and Cooper, he knows. He knows it's Wyndham Earle. He determines that Wyndham Earle rigged an explosion, that's what made all the power go out here and there. Remember, we talked about that at the end of the last episode. When Leo came to life with the power surges and we postulated, we said, well, is that the Black Lodge powering up Leo Johnson, this strange electricity force within Twin Peaks? So Cooper, again, he's going off intuition. He feels the presence of Wyndham Earle. He thinks Wyndham Earle coordinated all these things, all right? And, you know, Truman, he's always a little sus about this whole thing. He's like, I don't know, dude. There's no fingerprints. Let's kind of do some police work and figure it out. Meanwhile, Bobby, he's teaming up with Audrey to try and figure out how to handle Ben's fortune before he squanders it on Confederate figures and trains and all this wacky stuff. And she knows how to play Bobby. We've already seen this going down. She's like, do you want to get rich, Bobby? And, you know, he's all ears. He's leaning in on this. Good-looking girl telling him he's going to get paid. This is Bobby's M.O. She's got him. And you'll notice when they're having this discussion, there's an owl on the table, like a figurine of an owl and a duck. Taking us back to the pilot with the duck, but more importantly, the owl. And again, I'll put the images on the Instagram. You can check it out. So Shelley, she is... You know, we're back in the Shelley and Leo Johnson home. Leo's on the loose. Shelley's hiding. She's screaming for help. It's actually a really terrifying scene. You see an outline of a dark figure all discontorted, you know, implying it's Leo. I don't know if it was, but we're not sure. We're not sure where Leo is, and neither does Shelley, and she's freaking out. It's dark. She's got plastic sheets for walls. And his wheelchair is attacking her for no apparent reason. And you'll see an owl outside of the home paying attention. Adding more evidence to the theory that the Black Lodge fueled up Leo. Trying to set the events of what? We'll find out. Well, we see an owl paying attention. And I'm going to guess it's there to feed off the fear. It hears the screaming. And it's like, I want in on this action. I hungies for the fear. So what I'm saying is it seems like the Black Lodge is firing up. Wyndham Earle's presence, Leo's coming back to life, all these dark figures are coming forward here, right? Well, Leo, he's got an axe, but Bobby shows up just in time. I hope he was having a great time with Audrey, Bobby. Hope that was a hell of a piss, Arnold. Remember that? That was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Leo raises the axe. Bobby grapples with him. They get into a fight. Of course, Leo's got the upper hand. Bobby doesn't have the heart that Leo does. Say what you will about Leo. He's a scumbag. So he's got the upper hand. But then here comes Shelly, who's the real badass in the relationship between all these bozos. And she stabs Leo in the leg. He hobbles off through the plastic sheeting outside. Come on, can we do a GoFundMe to get some drywall on the Leo Johnson home, please? I'm sure that's pretty cold in the winter. Meanwhile, we find out the FBI and the DEA, they clear Cooper of all the charges, but he doesn't have his badge back just yet. All right, he's still suspended. Truman's still letting Cooper work for the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department. Andy tells Lucy that him and Dick Tremaine have been investigating Little Nicky, and they think Little Nicky killed his parents when he was six. She's not having it. She doesn't think either one of them are right in the head for this. She's like, I'm going to figure out what happened with Little Nicky, you jerks. Evelyn and James, right? We got that drama going on. Well, her husband, Jeffrey Marsh, finally shows up, and he meets James. He's giving off major cuckold vibes, too. Very strange. And Jeffrey takes off with his car, and you hear a loud crash. What was that? We're going to find out before the end of this episode. Back at the Double R, Big Ed, he tells Dr. Hayward that Nadine wants to date young boys, and then he's making plans with Norma, right? Like, these two are going to get together because Nadine, she's willing to leave Big Ed for young men. Then back to Evelyn and James. Evelyn tells James that how he did so good with Jeffrey, but James is like, dude, I'm not feeling this. I don't feel good. He rejects her. And at this point, you're thinking, well, it's either because he doesn't want to keep having an affair with a married woman now that he met her husband. Or maybe it seems like that car was rigged to have the accident. Did they use James? We're not sure yet. But he's mad, right? So now we get back to the police station. Here's where we get the juicy bits. We hear about how, I'm going to play this clip for you. We're going to hear about how Cooper's first partner in the FBI was Wyndham Earl, and he was his mentor, and how they used to play chess every day for 3 years. Cooper was never able to beat him. And you hear some interesting philosophies of the occult here. Let's take a listen.
So how does chess figure into all this?
Because Wyndham Earl and I played a game every day for 3 years. He felt that all of life could be found in the patterns and conflicts on the board. Because I never beat him. Now it's my turn. I published my response in the Twin Peaks Gazette. I don't know what else to do.
Coop, you're gonna have to give me some more information here.
Harry, I've brought some baggage to town I haven't told you about.
Now, we talked about the symbolism of the chess checkerboard in season 1, episode 5, all right? Because this is a symbol you see oftentimes in the occult. It's the tessellating black and white checkered pattern, all right? And it shows up a lot of times in Twin Peaks. In the Freemason lodges, this is called the Moses pavement. It's on the flooring of all the Freemason lodges. And they're not naming it after Moses, the person. They're naming it after, it's supposed to have to do with the muses, right? The idea of a muse channeling inspiration through some other, I don't know, being. But it's a symbol of duality, right? Which is one of the main themes of this show. And there's this Gnostic philosophy of two realities, light and dark. And depending on who you talk to, there could be, arguably, there could be the two polarities of good and evil, right? Depending on who you're talking to. But many philosophers, they believed in what they call the law of polarity. And this is the foundation of all of Western thought, that things are good or evil. In the Gnostics, it's light or dark. And in Alchemy and the Kybalion, they talk about how life exists in these two opposing polarities. And there, it's expressed from God as male or female, the two opposing polarities. The conscious realm is the active male force, whereas the subconscious realm is the passive feminine. And the creative force is the one that can create the new realities. That's where we get a lot of the talk about Cooper being a magician. That's what all this battle is between the White Lodge and Grey Lodge. It's about the passive forces creating new realities. And the Freemason, they use the floors of these lodges to call upon their initiates to think about these opposing forces that can be used to create reality. And this goes back to the original Temple of Solomon, which is what they model the Freemasonic lodges upon. But you heard from Cooper. He said that Wyndham Earle believed that all of life can be found in the patterns and conflicts on the board, because they have a very magical view of the world. Also, we should know the Double R Diner has got a checkered board pattern on the floor as well. And Cooper tells us that, you know, he's going to play chess one more time with Wyndham Earle. All right. He's going to start posting moves in the Twin Peaks Gazette, and they're going to have this back and forth. And then right after this, we hear more from Cooper about his background, about his love life and his past, and how Wyndham Earle plays a prominent role in the scars of Cooper's mind. Take a listen to this clip.
Cooper, you're going to have to give me some more information here.
Harry, I've brought some baggage to town I haven't told you about. Wyndham Earle was my first partner. Everything I know about the law and the bureau I owe to him. 4 years ago, we drew the assignment of protecting a material witness in a federal crime. She was a very beautiful, very gentle woman. Her name was Carolyn. She and I fell in love. One night, I failed in my vigilance. Attack was made. I wasn't ready. I was wounded and I lost consciousness. When I came to, she was in my arms. She was dead. She'd been stabbed.
Wounds on the vagrant.
Identical. The killer was never found. My wound healed. Wyndham Earle went mad. Institutionalized until his recent escape.
So why is he after you?
Harry. Caroline was Wyndham Earle's wife.
Blames you for her death.
It's much worse than that. I think he killed her. And I think he committed the crime that she originally witnessed. Harry, Wyndham Earle's mind is like a diamond. It's cold and hard and brilliant. I think he feigned the insanity that sent him away. But at some point, he lost the ability to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. You don't know what he's capable of, Harry. You don't know.
So Cooper reveals to Truman that he was supposed to protect this beautiful material witness named Caroline. And Cooper fell in love with her. And one night when he was on watch, she actually got, he got wounded and lost consciousness, and she died in his arms from this stab wound that was identical to the recent, you know, the vagrant, the victim. That's how he knew it was Wyndham Earle, because Wyndham Earle had gone insane. He was institutionalized but escaped. And we got the bombshell that Caroline was Wyndham Earl's wife. And Cooper thinks that she actually witnessed Wyndham Earl doing the crime that she was being protected from, that she was being protected from witness being a witness for. And that's why he got her. But Cooper says that Wyndham lost the ability to know between right and wrong. Right? You get that? Wyndham lost the ability to know the difference between good and evil, light and dark. There's that chess. And I guess the idea is that Wyndham Earl is probably more obsessed with the dark pieces of the chessboard, of the evil side, the Black Lodge. So back at Wally's hideout, Donna, she's hunting down James. Evelyn's at the bar, of course. She overhears Donna looking for James. She's asking the bartender where this biker named James is. And she's like, well, let me go help out. Evelyn tells Donna, hey, you know what? That James guy, he just left for Mexico. Probably to get away from you, Donna. And then they cue the just you. Just you and I music. And they flash over to James. He's at Evelyn's house. He's agonizing in pain. What is he going to do? I don't know. At the Great Northern, Ben Horn is still working out this Civil War issue, and Audrey shows up with his brother Jerry. Dr. Jacoby's already in the room, and he's providing these cues for Jerry to pretend that he's in the cavalry and to address Ben as general and all this stuff. And you're thinking, why? This is a medical psychologist. Why are you playing into this? Well, you know, everyone's playing along with this madman, and it's probably what a lot of famous celebrities feel from their inner circle who don't want to correct themselves, right? Don't want to tell these celebrities when they're not acting right. So Dr. Jacoby says that, well, here's the idea. You know, if by reversing the South's defeat in the Civil War, this will reverse Ben Horn's own emotional setting. And Dr. Jacoby supports this because he believes that Ben Horn can come out of this experience a new man. Because, you know, Ben Horn is a pretty rotten guy. So let's see what happens there. Major Briggs, he stumbles into the sheriff's department to tell Cooper and Truman about his new perspective on the things going on with his research with the Air Force. Take a listen.
Major, what happened?
Well, as men who have dedicated their lives to service, I know that you're able to understand how sacred I hold the Pledge of Allegiance and the cost one must pay when breaking a pledge.
It can be very great.
Well, the Air Force, I thought, was not unlike other societies of men dedicated to the fight for the good. Gentlemen, frankly, I'm worried. When my superiors questioned me about my disappearance, they exhibited a degree of suspicion and intolerance bordering on the paranoid. I must now admit that their motivation in the search for the White Lodge is not ideologically pure. I believe that during my disappearance, I was taken to the White Lodge. I can remember virtually nothing. But I have the clear, intuitive sense that there's much trouble ahead.
Major, what kind of trouble?
I'm unaware of the form it will take. But I will return. Until that time, I will be in the shadows if you need me. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, Major.
Major Briggs now has doubts in the Air Force's mission for him. He questions the motivations of his superiors because they're trying to remember, Briggs is trying to find the White Lodge. That's what the Air Force has him set up to do. And he was a loyal, devout man, but now he's starting to question it. He's starting to question what their motivations are. He thinks they're getting paranoid and he doesn't agree with their motivation. He says it's not ideologically pure. Whereas he is a man of values, old Major Briggs, because he even says he thought they were a society of men trying to do good, but maybe not. He said he believes that when he disappeared those couple days, when he was abducted, that he was actually taken to the White Lodge, and he doesn't remember what happened there, but his intuition tells him that there's trouble ahead. and he's going to be hiding in the shadows in the meantime. Now, isn't this interesting? Cooper and Briggs, who have this sort of kinship, they both have this intuition that they're letting make the moves here. And Briggs, he says he's going to go in the shadows. And all this is going to play a role in the future episodes, including season 3. This scene right here. Meanwhile, Dr. Jacoby, he's hanging out with Dougie's wife, Lana. Remember the witch, Lana? And she's got a height. He says, he tells Cooper and them, he's like, look, this lady didn't kill Dougie. She's got a heightened sexual drive. She knows her techniques and her skills. And Dr. Jacoby, it's implied that he took it for a spin or something. I don't know. I don't know what he's implying. And he confirms that she wouldn't have killed Dougie. And then he's like, well, I'm going to actually take her out bowling. But then the mayor, Dougie's brother, Dwayne Milford, he shows up with the shotty and he's convinced that Lana killed his brother and he's going to take out Lana and the hippie. Dr. Hayward's the hippie. Or I'm sorry, Dr. Jacoby's the hippie. Yes, sorry. So Cooper and the deputies, they put Lana in the room with Mayor Dwayne Milford to hash it out. And what do you know? Lana makes the mayor fall in love with her. Back at the Blue Pine Lodge, Andrew Packard shows up. Look at this. Andrew Packard shows up, and we get a big revelation that he didn't actually die in that boat accident. And he's back, and he's got a plan for revenge because his business partner, Thomas Eckhard, was trying to kill him. And he thinks that Josie was part of that plan to kill Andrew as well. And they believe that Eckhart is going to actually come to Twin Peaks to find Josie, and that's when they're going to strike. Then, right on cue, guess who shows up to check in at the Great Northern? Thomas Eckhart. And he's standing at the fireplace. We see the he's wearing black sunglasses. You see the reflection of the fire, symbolically used for the men of Twin Peaks, like Ben Horn. My goodness. Lucy, she concludes her investigation of Little Nicky, and she comes back to the sheriff's department with Dr. Hayward. And Dr. Hayward, he actually knows the origins of Little Nicky, so he schools Andy and Dick. Says, look, Little Nicky's real mother, she worked at the Great Northern. She was assaulted and raped. And then Little Nicky was born. And I think the mom died somehow. Or no, she put the boy up for adoption. He was adopted by a young couple, but then those parents died in a car accident. So Andy and Dick, they're feeling remorse for feeling like this kid was the devil. So meanwhile, over at Evelyn and James, James is packing his bag. He's decided he's going to leave because it's not right to sleep with a married woman. Evelyn confesses to James that her and Malcolm, who is not her brother. We thought that Malcolm was her brother, but remember they were smooching. Well, that's not her brother. They rigged Jeffrey Marsh's, Evelyn's husband, car to crash, which actually killed him, and they were going to set James up to take the fall. Isn't that terrible? But she had caught feelings for James during this whole thing, and she tells him, look, I love you, and but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a warning. You need to get away, and you need to get with that beautiful woman who's looking for you, who loves you. That's Donna. So the police show up. James escapes. There's Donna outside waiting for him in the woods, and she's like, come on, let's go. So it seems like it's over for James and Evelyn. Finally, last scene, Leo, he's stumbling through the woods, remember? Shelly shanked him. He looks up and he sees an owl flying through the woods. He stumbles upon a cabin. Bad news for Leo. Someone's home in that cabin, and it's Wyndham Merle, and he's feeling crazy. And that's where the episode ends. Some major revelations and important parts of the Twin Peaks saga in episode 14. So let's come back next time for season 2, episode 15, Slaves and Masters, where we're going to get a whole lot deeper into owls. So Let's see what if they are what they seem this time. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for your support. Till next time, stay woke.